I'm Chris McAdoo, and this is Enjoyable Listen Time with Best Behavior, where we talk to people who make things and make things happen. And, with any luck, inspire you to do the same.
So we're recording.
Red buttons pressed. Looks like we're recording.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Out there in internet land, this is Chris McAdoo.
And this is George Middlebrooks.
And this is your next installment of Enjoyable Listen Time, because I am focused like a laser beam, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
On posting a new podcast every 2 weeks, right?
And we've just hit the 2 week point this morning.
So here is your podcast.
So here we are in Chris's dining room.
Now we've got some cool stuff coming up. The next podcast is going to be with Bill, who is the executive director of Aeromont up in Gatlinburg. We're going and talking with him tomorrow. But for now, you get a couple of jerks at a table. But we're going to talk today about something that's been on my mind quite a bit, which is mostly just bitching about work,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is fun to do.
Talking about work.
Talking about work and doing the work, right?
Appreciating the work
that has been done. So
not letting the work kill you.
Yes. So the difference between, like, how old are you, George?
I'm almost 39.
I am also.
I'm 38 and 5/6.
I'm October. I turned 39. I'm not going to do the math on it, but essentially, how does a grown ass man or a grown ass woman or whatever, you know, like your goals change from when we first started doing this, right? Like making stuff to kind of what we're doing now.
Yeah.
From
day to day too. I mean, generally, I guess the goals have changed, but the goals do change from day to day. And it depends on what kind of work you've got and what kind of bills need paid and whatever.
Right. I mean, we've been at this. I've had the, you know, since when did I graduate from college? 2000. Mm-hmm. Other than about 12, 15 months as an art director in the mid-aughts, like I've owned my own shop. I've done my own thing for. I mean, does it sound crazy to say that I've done something for almost 20 years?
And you're not broken.
You
don't look broken. I mean, you put up a pretty good front.
Aged well.
You're not as gray as I am.
Well, that's what we do. Our part
just for men.
That's exactly right.
Your secret.
Just transfer. No, it's that hair transfer thing, like you see down in Atlanta. Like they take hair from your back and put it on your head or something.
Oh man, I would be
super gross.
We won't talk about my back.
So anyway, so we wanted to talk about the value of work, because in the kind of the line of business that we're in, you can get oversaturated with what you could call, I'm going to say the wrong word, but I'm going to talk about quote unquote startup culture.
Right.
Would that be a good way to kind of say?
Workaholism?
Workaholic. Yeah, there you go.
I think the two kind of run in parallel.
And the sort of martyrdom that comes with, you know, that whole like, I worked 80 hours.
I'm so busy.
So busy. So there's the cult.
Busyness as a badge of honor.
Yeah. There is a cult of busyness that as a father, as a husband, as a business owner, as a crappy musician, as an artist, as all of these things, busyness is easy to fall into.
Oh, man, yeah.
Right? And what can happen, and I'm sure some of you guys out there that are listening feel the pain as well, the pain of paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is probably, if there is a monkey on my back or a devil on my shoulder, it is.
Its name is admin.
Its name is admin. And so, you know, some of the, we're going to, I want to kind of get into, like, ways to deal with it. Right? Mm-hmm. From a business owner perspective, but also as just somebody out there, like as you get older, like we're not half alive, we're half dead.
I said something yesterday about I'll be 50 when.
Oh,
and you looked at me completely straight faced and said, you'll be 50 in 11 years.
Because you still think it's 1990.
I died a little inside.
So as you get older, you literally get surrounded by more paperwork. Mm-hmm. Like right now, we're at my kitchen table, and I'm looking at one of these, you know, circulars that came in the mail, along with 4 credit card offers, a mortgage statement, magazine subscriptions, etc.
Bills and reminders of bills. The
paper of life. And you get surrounded, and it is really easy to get buried under that mountain of stuff.
Yep.
And so I love to bitch about that as much as the next guy.
I came into this with only a vague idea of what you wanted to talk about, and I'm so glad that we're having this conversation because I've thought about a lot of this a lot lately, and a lot of it kind of went with being on vacation recently and like disconnecting from busyness for the most part. And I had a lot of work that I wanted to do that week, and I didn't get to do a lot of that work that week, and I'm so glad because I really just needed to sit by a pool and read a book.
But how did you come by not doing that work, George?
my computer allowed me to not do that work.
Because somebody forgot their power cord.
Forgot the charger. And that was a blessing. And, So I got a little work done, and then I said, you know what? I'm through working, and I enjoyed the family time and the friend time and the book and the pool and the beach and whatever, and allowed myself to really kind of mostly unplug.
Yeah.
And you got to do that. This is kind of a tangent from where we started.
Oh no, I love tangents.
That's a thing that we need to make sure we plug in here is unplugging.
Yeah, well, and it's particularly in our like plugged in atmosphere.
Yeah,
right. Because kind of everything that we do plugs in and is on all the time. Yeah. And
well, and we have the kind of job that I really can do from anywhere. And I tell myself that a lot. I can do my job from anywhere. I can go out of town and still keep working while on my vacation. Well, you shouldn't do that because that will quickly ruin your vacation.
Or you can use the things that, I mean, like we've worked really hard over years and years kind of with Best Behavior to build a mobile sort of quote unquote mobile first culture. So, I mean, we're used to working from wherever.
Technically you can, and it's okay to be able to, but
how do you?
It's also good to draw a line.
Well, like on the on vacations, or there's not a lot of. I'm gonna bet probably out there, there's not a lot of plumbers that like go to the beach, you know, and like check out the back of the toilet or something like that, you know, like oh shit, this thing, I better
do some plumbing this week.
Yeah, I gotta do some extra plumbing, right. Or you know, a track hoe operator that's like, man, I wonder if I can rent a track hoe while we're in the mountains,
build some digging hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, so. You know, a lot of folks that I've heard from that listen to this podcast are entrepreneurs, which I always say that word in quotes. I just air quoted.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, really, an entrepreneur, like, how do you, you know, how you define yourself? Would you call a guy or a man or a woman that owns a muffler shop an entrepreneur? I mean, they own a business.
Technically, yes.
Right? I mean, but I don't know if they would consider themselves an entrepreneur so much as a business owner.
As somebody who is filling that need for the service
and
getting the thing done that they know how to do for money. And that's what we all do.
Well, we trade time for money.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, for me, especially as, you know, kids are getting older, so my oldest is about to drive a car. So good luck, everybody out there, you know, on the roads. You know, and my youngest is in elementary school. And so the thing that we don't have that much, you know, I mean, like, it's a fixed resource.
Yeah.
Is that time. And so learning to use that time as, I was about to say, as efficiently as possible, but that's a shitty way to say that.
Yeah.
Because, like, time with your family.
Because that would suggest that you're trying to work while you're spending time with your family.
You want to get
which we probably do sometimes. I'm guilty of that, but
I'm too guilty of that. But it's kind of like to think of everything in terms of, and now there's tangents all over the place, but I like it because
that's our brains.
The thought of efficiency, I think, permeates a lot of like what we talk about. Like we want to do this
That's all I'm thinking about most of the time.
But really, I'm going to totally butcher an interview from years ago that Jack White did, and they were talking about his recording process, And like why he did that, why when they did the White Stripes, like why were they straight to tape, or why the Rock and Tours, you know, recorded a certain way? Why didn't you do digital, or you know, those kind of things? And his answer was essentially like, it's not that I'm for or against the digital process. It's just like I work better the other way.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be efficient.
Yeah.
Like the inefficiencies built into some things are what make the process. George, last night you went to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Right? With your kid, and like you don't want that baseball game to be as efficient as possible. Right? Like, let's no. get out of here.
Yeah. Some people do, and that's a whole other conversation. We should have a baseball podcast, but yeah, you know, they talk about trying to speed up the game, but my whole thing with going to a baseball game is just chilling out, putting my feet up, and enjoying a few hours of a relatively slow moving game. I like to get my money's worth.
Get a couple popcorns.
I went to a major league game last week, and it went alarmingly quickly. And we kind of sat and looked around. And we're like, holy crap, we're in the sixth inning already. We've only been here an hour. I want to be here all night. I paid $70 for this seat. I want to be here for a while.
I want a marathon.
Yeah, I want extra innings. I want free baseball. But yeah, there's a time and a place for efficiency, I guess, or looking at using your time efficiently. And sometimes you just got to stop.
Well, the cult of, I mean, I guess, you know, we're going to tangent all over the place, but that cult of efficiency, like some people, you know, it's sort of like, I'll work all night to make sure this is efficient.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't sleep. I failed those hours.
Growing up, talk about the value of work. Like growing up, I'm going to do like a whole big write-up on this, but I was lucky enough to grow up on a farm where, like, when it was cold and I knew it had frozen overnight, I would hear that rap on my door and I knew it was my dad.
Geez.
Yeah, like, there is work to be done.
Yeah.
I got to go and, like, break ice out of buckets so the horses can, you know, like drink water in the morning. And I got to go do these things before I get ready, you know, for school. Now, at the time, I was not a fan of this particular, you know, action, but this is just one of the many things that I was fortunate enough to kind of, you know, live through. And I, of course, I remember myself adapting to these situations much more heroically, I think, than my parents would probably.
You probably don't complain as much in your memory.
Yeah. Like I'm heroically jumping out of bed.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where sometimes you just got to get up and do the work.
Yep.
Until it is, you know, sort of until it's done. But so the effectiveness, the efficiency, all of those kind of things, like, I don't know. I just had to get up and break ice until all the ice was broken.
Yeah, the ice got broken. The horse got to drink and stay alive. You kept the thing alive, ultimately. That was your goal.
And so, like, the value of the one thing that I think people kind of gloss over when it comes to effectiveness or efficiency or that sort of effective, efficient entrepreneurship or whatever, is the martyr of that workaholic. I kind of want to go back to that a little bit. Because especially in our industry, there's a lot of folks that are working these crazy 60, 70 hour, just punishing weeks.
Yeah.
Right? And that becomes par for the course. And how do you either A, just avoid that altogether, which we do. I try to. Yeah. I mean, we work hard on, you know, on avoiding that. But how do you either avoid it or how do you come off of it? Like, what are effective ways to essentially say no?
I recommend having a kid. that changed so much with me. And I'd been running my own business for, 3.5 years when we had a baby. And we were pretty old, I guess, comparatively. Old compared to you when we had our first kid.
Yeah, my first kid. Me and my wife, who is patient enough to still be with me, we were 22.
Yeah, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, we were 22. This is how I have a kid that's about to drive.
This kid alive.
Yeah,
and he's like he's okay.
I know. Well, yeah, you sort of set the bar to a point where you can succeed. Like, yeah, our kid, he's still there.
He's all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were we'd gotten to the point where we'd worked a lot and had a good deal of life experience under our belts and said, okay, we can handle this. We're pretty confident now at in our mid 30s that we can keep another human alive, which I think we probably could have pulled it off a lot earlier, but we're pretty risk averse. So, but anyway, when we had her, I'd had the kind of year where, especially leading up to having a kid, I wanted to have some, you know, make sure that I could pay for her, have a little bit of money in the bank and pay the bills. And I worked a lot that, especially that summer leading up to the fall that she was born. And then when she was born, something clicked in me and I just, you know, in Office Space where he's hypnotized and he doesn't come out of the hypnosis and he's just like, psh, screw it. That was kind of me. Like I still had that kind of underlying drive to keep the lights on and keep the business going and keep the bills paid, but I had the drive, but I didn't have the overdrive, I guess is a good way of putting it.
Oh, we just got titled the podcast. There we go. Look at that.
We need a bell. We need
drive,
a
Dan
not
Benjamin
overdrive. Bell.
We'll just, there's our sound effect. Do-do-do-do-do-do. We'll work on it.
Yeah. We'll harmonize that later.
Yes.
But yeah, like I had a pretty intense project schedule at the point when she was born. I had a lot to do and I was doing a lot of work in my office at home with a newborn baby and a little napper right next to my desk, which is a really great way to work, honestly, because then you can just kind of stop and take a break and breathe and look at this person you made and remember why you're doing the work, but also remember why you don't want to do so much work.
Yeah.
Because you want to be able to cut out at the end of the day and just hang out with the kid. And you know, in another life, 10 years ago, I would have been still working at 10 o'clock last night, whereas last night I was still at the ballpark with that kid.
Right.
And just, you're you know, the work's going to get done either way. I guess that's what it comes down to.
And the free, well, and the sort of like allowing ourselves the freedom of schedule to, you know, if you want to go get your kid at 3 and then you go to a ball game and then you come home and there's stuff to do, just
which
finish your stuff.
I did come home. I put her to bed at 10:30 and I went upstairs and I worked until 1:30 because I had a deadline today. But I was able to focus a little bit more on that work because I wasn't thinking about the other projects to do or also just getting out of the house to go to the ball game.
Well, and I was, I got up this morning. Everybody, there's going to be a collective gasp of in internet land of when I got up this morning, which is my normal wake up time.
5 o'clock.
5:30. So you gave me 30. I got 30 minutes. Because like there is so much focus that I like to give to my sort of routines, which could be maybe I got a lot of work. This morning I had a bunch of editing to do, so I got that done sort of literally before the sun comes up.
Those really are the best hours to work.
Yeah. I like that because, and I also feel like I'm double as productive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you're not answering the phone. You're not getting texts. You're not getting emails. It's just you. Like, I love that feeling of just like ruling my world.
Yeah, it's
and that also goes back to having the newborn. I would when she was a fresh baby, she would wake up pretty consistently about 4:30 and want to get fed. So I'd get up and
a fresh baby.
Fresh.
I just imagine that she's very well dressed.
Yeah. She was. She mostly is. When she was, you know, under 6 months old, the first 6 months or so, she would wake up about 4:30 in the morning, and I would get up and I would feed her with the bottle, and I would change her, and I'd put her back to bed, and I would take a deep breath and say, "Well, I'm up. I may as well
go to
work.
Do some stuff."
Yeah, I should have gone running or gotten on my bike or something, you know, something to better myself, but I'd go to work. And so I would still put in long days, but the length of my day would be early in the morning, and I would get 4 hours worth of work done in the first 2 hours just because I didn't have anything else going on. Nobody was tweeting. I didn't have any, you know, I didn't have anything, any pointless social feed to refresh
Nobody
or anything
tweeting.
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, somebody was tweeting. So, yeah, no, my mornings, for me, like talking about unplugging, right? it's not just an experience that for me like has to happen, you know, just during vacations. Like, man, I have to think about that. I have to consciously make it a part of my day.
Yeah.
So for me, like to get up at 5 or 5:30 or something like that, it does like include, you know, a lot of times walk the dog or go for a run or go to the gym.
And it's going to be a meditative activity ultimately too.
For all of you out there, like I'm a big fan of punching stuff and lifting heavy things and then like you lift a heavy thing and you put it somewhere else. That's essentially what going to the gym. I mean, it's kind of like you lift it, you put it back down.
It's a good summation of exercise.
You carry it, you carry it to another spot.
Run somewhere.
Run
then
back.
Run back.
Yeah. But that helps me. To focus on, I don't know. It helps me to focus on myself a little bit to get that. You know, to give yourself some of that time to get your head in the right place, to get your heart in the right place. Like, why are you doing this in the first, like, because if there's anything about being again, I'm going to air quote, entrepreneur, it is the
solo business guy is whatever.
Yeah, well, or just
whatever.
If you own a business, if you operate on your own, if you're trying to start a side hustle, if you're doing all these things, the one thing that you can there's always something to do.
Yep.
There's never a time in your life where there is not a thing that you could be doing.
Absolutely.
So you have to make a conscious decision to not
that doesn't mean you should be doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like so you have to say like, no, this hour is mine.
Yeah.
Or this 2 or 3 hours at the ballpark is my family's. Or you know,
if I'm cooking dinner, I don't need to be replying to the email. Or
exactly.
Whatever.
You're going
to
burn
something.
I know
something. 6 o'clock is close to 5 o'clock, but if you're emailing me at 6 o'clock, I'm probably not going to email you back for a couple hours until everybody else is settled.
Oh, the dogs are... Everybody heard Eddie in the background. They're running around like crazy people.
I literally see fur flying.
Oh, jeez. Well, anyway... This is how long have we been talking?
Got 22 minutes here.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
A mini cast, right?
A little pod snack.
I'm writing that down. Pod snack.
Make sure to tag that.
Drive versus overdrive and pod snack.
Pod snack.
So, but one last thing that I think that we can get into, because I mean,
we've got a whole other conversation to this end that we could have.
And there's a thing here. I'm going to ask everybody a question after this is all over. But one of my favorite guys to listen to, back to podcast, pod snacking, is on the dog walks and whatnot and on the runs is Mike Rowe, who is like the Dirty Jobs guy, right?
The guy from the Ford commercials.
Yes. Well, he talks – one of the interesting things that he talks about is – There are a lot of people out there, you would say inspirational types, that talk about following your passion.
Yep.
Right? Following your passion. And he always has a really great point about like, nobody has a passion for sewage removal. Nobody, you know what I mean? But they happened into an opportunity. And took advantage of it and became the best.
And then you get good at it.
Sewage removal service in St. Louis. You know, and so, you know, the idea that you would follow your passion, is it your passion that you need to follow or do you need to follow a skill passionately? Do you know what I mean? Like,
well said.
Do you work passionately? Like if you're building a, if you're a home builder or
the work is your passion, whatever the work is.
Yeah. Like do you... if you're a designer or a developer or a designer developer or whatever, so many of the things that we do, like if anybody's real passion in life out there is Google AdWords, you should probably reevaluate some things. But that doesn't mean that you can't.
But there's a select set of people who totally kick ass at that, and
you can approach things passionately.
Yeah,
right. I mean, there are. I don't know. What do you think? What's your kind of thought on that?
Yeah, that's, I mean, and I, my work is kind of a little of both. Like it's, I do have, it is my passion because it's a creative endeavor, but you know, billing isn't my passion.
Oh,
just made you shudder a little.
Yeah. But, anybody that owes me money, send me some money.
That's same here. But,
and to all the people that I owe money, I'll send it. Checks in the mail.
Getting there. We're getting there, but it's a necessary part of it, and you gotta, and it's it's a, you're using another part of your brain when you're doing the billing and doing the admin and the paperwork, and it lets that creative part of your brain maybe work in the background, but it gives it a breather. And so I do kind of, I have to appreciate that. And I'm fortunate enough with a lot of the work that I do that, you know, one day I can spend designing building signage, and then the last half of that day or the next day I can switch over to writing PHP code for a few hours and kind of switch the brain up. So there's a lot of kind of sub passions, I guess, there, but it's all kind of the same thing. It's all still feeds some sort of creativity, I think.
We'll find out.
I hope.
Well, so that's a good, I think that's a good place to wrap, because I would like to hear people's thoughts.
Yeah.
Like if anybody out there in internet land is listening, for one, thanks for listening. Please, 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 please hit up iTunes. Give us a review.
Yes.
Good, bad.
A good review.
Good. Well, yeah. Preferably. A good review. And share with friends, neighbors, and enemies, you know, what we have talked about. So we covered a lot, and we went off on a lot of tangents. Things that we learned. One, if you want to bring focus to your life, have a kid.
Yes.
So that's easy. So there's number one. We talked about the cult of busyness and how it's easy to fall in that trap and let the paperwork overtake you, and things that you can use to fight that.
Don't brag about how busy you are.
Yeah, everybody's
just, it's everybody's a bad look. Busy. Yeah.
Everybody's busy, but nobody's as busy as they seem.
Nope.
It's a choice. There's
definitely some web surfing, some Facebooking going on in the middle of all that. Oh, I'm so busy.
Well, the next time, I'm going to forget who said it, but I thought it was a really great quote from an interview about that sort of busyness, is the next time that someone asks you to do something, instead of saying, I'm too busy, say, that's not a priority for me right now.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean,
that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so if your kid comes up and is like, oh, daddy, come to the, you know, play in the yard with me, you just tell your 2-year-old, that's not a priority for me right now.
I kind of had to yesterday.
Well, sometimes you do have to.
I have to throw this anecdote in. I have an old keyboard that died from my Mac, and I cut the cable off so my daughter could just play with it. And she just walks around with it, and she'll set it down and tap and say, I'm working. And so a couple weeks ago, she pulled a little stool up to my desk and stood up at the desk, put the keyboard next to my working keyboard, tapped away on it like she was coding, and looked at me and said, I can't play, Daddy. I'm too busy with work. And I felt myself just rot. I felt 2 inches tall. And I thought, she learned it from watching me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was the worst person ever. And it made me... like, I got to a quitting point really quickly and just stopped and watched Mickey Mouse with her for a while. I knew that was me all over.
I'm working.
That's the worst. What a terrible example.
She said, Dad, I'd like to hang out.
Sorry, I'm working.
That's not a priority for me
I'm too busy. I'm too busy, Dad. And she actually put her hand up to my face, like, get out of my face, which I don't do to her, but she took it a step further. That hurt.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
don't be that guy.
The cult of busyness continues. I think we've got a lot more to talk about, and I think we're going to do more of these. Pod snacks, because I want to hear, like, is this cool? Like, do people like this? I don't know. The dogs seem to enjoy it, or they ran away. I don't know. Drive versus overdrive, passion versus following a skill passionately. I mean, there's so much to dig into, but I appreciate everybody. For listening. Again, check out 2 weeks, Bill May from Aramont School of Arts and Crafts up in Gatlinburg.
That's going to be good.
That is going to be really good. I'm really stoked about that. And we're going to continue some of that bent of, you know, talking about people that do, like, really good things. They make stuff. And
make things and make things happen.
They make
that
things.
That should be a tagline for a podcast.
Yeah, that is the tagline. Oh, well, anyway, that seems like a good spot to hit out. I am Chris McAdoo.
I'm George Middlebrooks.
And this has been Enjoyable Listen Time. Go have yourselves a nice 4th of July holiday.
Don't be too busy.